There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Have you ever been to Pakistan? We were so blown away at the Arabian travel market when a guy called Kabul wandered over to our stand and started showing us some photographs of tours that he takes people on in Pakistan. So Kabul Wazir from Way to Wanderlust joins us in the studio. Hi, Kabul.
Hello.
Hello. You wandered over to us at ATM, the Arabian travel market, and we thought two things. The first thought was, what a character. And the second thought was, Pakistan looks gorgeous.
It is.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, first starting off with a character thing, I mean, you're from my part of the world in Bolton in the UK, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Born and bred.
Yeah.
And you've got the accent to prove it.
Oh, yeah, it's perfect accent. I'm loving that. So what brought you out to Dubai?
Adventure.
Right.
15 years ago.
Okay.
15 years you've been here.
15 years. I've seen it rise.
It's amazing how we haven't met you. Up until now, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It is.
So let's start with your connection to the country, Kabul. What is your connection to Pakistan?
So my parents, my heritage is from northwest Pakistan, bordering Afghanistan.
Okay.
I was born and raised in the UK, but my family very much instilled my roots in me.
So you grew up hearing stories about Pakistan?
Absolutely.
Did you visit?
I did, from a young age. School holidays.
Okay. Oh, school. I was going to say school holidays. Yeah. I mean, what kind of age was you when you first went there?
Oh, I was about 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
My dad was an adventurer, actually. He made us go from Karachi to Peshawar by train, okay. 2 days and two nights. We saw the length and breadth of Pakistan, and it was amazing. And I think that wanderlust element's kicked in since then.
That's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, at that age to do that.
At that age, I'm trying to think of the furthest I ever went. It was probably to the local beach.
I think mine was the local supermarket, and that was it. I mean, what memories have you got of that train journey?
From arid deserts to lush fields and everything in between. The sound of the train, of course.
Yeah.
And
was it packed? Was it a busy train?
It was a busy train. It was a busy train, but it was just adventure. I mean, you're in England with your schoolmates, and then all of a sudden you're on a packed adventure to Pakistan, of all places. And, yeah.
So you've been in Dubai for 15 years. Are trips to Pakistan now the day job, or is there another day job?
No, this is my day job now.
That's awesome. How long have you been doing it?
So this is coming to, well, I've been taking friends and relatives for quite some time now. I've been going back and forth, but as of now, this year, it's going to kick in fully.
So what made you decide that you wanted to make this, you know, your career, let's say, you know, showing people this country?
So it's a lot of introspection. You find out who you are when you go through your emotions, so to speak. And for me, what comprises me as a character, I'm a writer, a photographer, a presenter, a storyteller, an entertainer. So, and I have a love for the region of northern Pakistan. And I thought, you know what? I need to do something about this, because that place is a hidden gem and the world needs to know. And who else but to do it but me?
You've obviously got the passion for it.
Absolutely.
Why do you think it's not been on the radar for a lot of travellers? Like, I don't hear many people talking about going to Pakistan or just coming back from Pakistan. It's not been on our radar, has it, Mark?
It hasn't. I have been a couple of times, but only to the main cities.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not somewhere that, you know, I would think automatically, let me go and book a trip to Pakistan.
You know, it's all about perception. To be honest with you, it's a hidden gem. The people that need to know. About the region, the north especially, it's just magical. If you go to Hunza Valley, I mean, there are people who go there. On one of my trips that I went, I met a guy out of nowhere from London who's just writing his novel, so to speak.
Yeah.
I had another gentleman from Switzerland who ended up climbing Ultar Peak with me, which is about 3,000 meters. So, you know, the people are there. But now, I was just looking at reports earlier on, figures, and it's tourism has exponentially grown in Pakistan.
Has it really?
Yes.
Where are the tourists coming from who are going to Pakistan?
From all over. People from Switzerland. I had a friend of mine who's from Denmark, actually, and she says, "You're doing way too wanderlust to Pakistan." I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, the who's and who's to be in Denmark are actually going on an adventure trip to Pakistan to Hunza Valley in October." And I was like, "Wow." Mm. So
there's parts of Pakistan that they even compare to Switzerland, isn't there?
Absolutely. So Swat Valley, for instance, Naltar Valley, they call it the Switzerland of Asia. I showed you pictures the other day and you're kind of blown away, so to speak, right?
We are joined in the studio today by Kabul Wazir from Way to Wanderlust. Now, he's running trips to Pakistan, and we're asking you if you've ever been to Pakistan. We'd love to hear from you. Asking if you fancy going there on a holiday. If not, what would put you off? If you are from Pakistan and you want to shout about your little part of the world, get in touch as well. 4001 is the number to get us on. You can also use the Free Dubai Eye app. But there's a real lust for seeing somewhere that feels undiscovered when you travel nowadays. And that's what you're trying to do, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Take people to the places where they wouldn't necessarily go themselves. Having been someone who's been there, done a lot of recces and knows his stuff. I think if we run through the itinerary, let's start in day one, because day one is Islamabad. And you said to us off air, you said, "I don't really want to talk too much about Islamabad because everyone flies into Islamabad. But I imagine you're going to do something different with people when you get there."
Absolutely. So there's a number of places to go. But again, I would take people on a historical route out of Islamabad, about an hour away. You've got a place called Taxila, which is the ruins of a 1,000-year-old dynasty of the Buddhist kingdom. It's the center of learning and education. And it was one of the routes through the Silk Route, so to speak, or should I say a little vein. But places like that, you've got the Faisal Mosque, which is, I mean, it's like Sheikh Zayed Mosque, but in Pakistan.
Okay.
And when I mean to say that, it's a landmark. You've got Lokvesa. It's a kind of cultural Pakistani kind of venue. You have Monument Point, where you have the different elements, the four sections of Pakistan, all in one, comprised in a monument. So there's a number of monuments there, but again, you go to any city and you see monuments. I'm talking about going out into the wilderness.
But what is Islamabad, for anyone who hasn't been? What is it like as a city? Because Mark's been to Karachi and he mentioned that to you and you said, "Oh, it's a totally different ballgame."
It's very green, clean. Actually, it's designed by a Greek architect in the
60s. Is it
really? Yeah. So Karachi was the capital city back in the day, and then they moved it to Islamabad, and it's based on a grid system, and it's very mountainous. So it's not flat at all. And in that regard, people...
Don't hire a bike.
Well, no, you can. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's very clean. Apparently, I was Googling this and they're saying it's the second most beautiful capital in the world.
Wow.
Now, Google that for yourselves and see for yourselves. In fact, come along and see for yourself.
Where would we be staying in Islamabad? Are we staying there for the first night?
Yep. So it all depends. I mean, there's everything from the 3-star hotel to the 5-star hotel chain. There's everything from the Marriott to the Serena to your local guest houses as well.
Mm-hmm. So does it depend what people, when they get in touch with you about a tour, would mm-hmm. you organise a tour based on what level of luxury they'd be happy with on that tour?
Is absolutely. That how it works? Absolutely. So I want to take, between 5 to 10 people on a journey of self-discovery, but that will entail depending on what suits everyone. But I mean you got to streamline it so it kind of fits the middle.
Yeah,
so it's not necessarily 5-star luxury all the way.
Absolutely.
All right, so just talk us through day one, Islamabad, but just let the tour unfold for us day by day.
So you arrive at Islamabad, and it's a quick journey. You arrive to Islamabad, and if we have the right flight, connecting flight, we're flying off to Skardu, which is a different situation, because when you get to Skardu, you're actually in the mountainous region, and it's about a 5-6 hour journey from there to Hunza Valley. Mm-hmm. Now, there's two options regards to that. There's the Islamabad option. So if you go into the Islamabad option, it's a coach journey all the way through the Karakoram Highway.
Okay.
You have a number of pit stops, washroom stops, facilities, and then you stay overnight at a hotel. But this Karakoram Highway is the legendary Silk Route we're talking about here. So it's the main artery of the Silk Route. And you come across, well, I was there 8 October, and I remember I was with my cousin and I looked up at the sky in the night and I says, wow, it's such beautiful stars. And the driver laughed at me and said, no, those are houses. Wow. Imagine reaching to the sky. So the mountainous region, and then you move on to Gilgit the second day.
I just want to jump in because Wilkie's been texting in on 4001 and he raised a good point, which is the FCO, the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, their advice about travelling to Pakistan. And they do advise against travel on that highway that you were talking about between Islamabad and Gilgit.
Right.
How do you feel about safety in Pakistan?
So there's a number of aspects here. It's very secure because there is a number of patrols that are going through the highway now. The authorities have clamped down on that angle. So I remember, if you take you back for a second, there are two options. You can either, there's the 5-day option, the 8-day option, or the 10-day option. The 10-day option is when you go through the route, through the highway.
Okay.
And you see the rock carvings and the medieval cities.
Yeah.
Angles. Or you can go by flight. So you fly from Dubai to Islamabad, as an example, and then you get a connecting flight either to Skardu, which is half an hour away, or to Gilgit, which is half an hour away as well. So either way, you're bypassing all that, but it's a shorter journey.
I mean, this is going to be a holiday for people who want the adventure side and who are not too concerned about the travel advice given, because there are a lot of countries where there's travel advice given, and we know people who do still go.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, our friend the Travel Camel, you know, he goes to some pretty regions that others might not want to go to.
Absolutely. You know, there are so many tourists there, Westerners, that you'd be surprised.
Do you see a lot of tourists?
I do.
When you're in Pakistan? Yeah. Okay, so day 2, day 3 and day 4. Hunza, the medieval village of Ganesh, was one that stood out to me because this just looks like something that would be in a film set.
Funnily enough, there is a gentleman by the name of Paul Salopek who just did the walk through Hunza Valley. He's the National Geographic, and he's doing the Eden Walk, and he went through the area, in particular Ganesh village, which is around 1,000 years old. It is one of the main city centers of commerce of the Silk Route, and wow, when you go there you'll feel the spirit. It's something else. There's no,
that is pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
That history. Also, Altit Fort, very much still intact.
Absolutely. A UNESCO site, actually, as well. Altit Fort and Baltit Fort. They were, like, basically the fortresses of the Emir of Hunza, the leaders of Hunza for 900 years or so.
Gilgit is a place I want to touch on, because that's quite famous for its carpets, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Gilgit. Gilgit is, but it's more of a center of commerce, so to speak. But again, once you get out of the cities, Hunza Valley is, well, put it this way, there was a gentleman, I forgot his name now, but he wrote a book called Lost Horizon, and he called Hunza Valley Shangri-La, the lost hidden paradise.
Okay.
And they call it heaven on earth. So I remember the first time I arrived 10 years back, and got out of the transport, and I was about to check in, and I just turned around and I see this marvel, this spectacle beyond belief, and I just couldn't believe my eyes, and I said, people need to see this place.
We talk about carpets and Gilgit, because I read the same thing that you read, Mark,
right,
and I think we all have a love for carpets in this region. If something happens when you get off the plane and
let's buy a carpet.
Do you know what? I don't have enough rugs in my life. I'm going to need more. But you can not only buy carpets in this region, but you can support the women who are making them there, can't you?
Absolutely. So as part of my trek, I take people, there's the Karakoram Development Corporation, and so they make carpets out of yak wool. Those yaks are they reside over 15,000 feet above sea level, so they're very cold temperature, and you see them weaving the carpets, and it's amazing. There to support the community. I want to do a kind of CSR program as well, to give back to the community as well.
So take tourists there. If they like the carpets, they can buy them.
Well, yeah, of course. It's up to them.
What's this I'm hearing about a suspension bridge that Mark Lloyd would never go on? Is it a pretty high one?
Isn't it one of the oldest ones?
You could say that, but it's you got to be brave.
Right.
Well, put it this way. I was there and I saw locals just walking like it's out of fashion. And I looked at it and I said, I'm going to go halfway. And even halfway was, yeah, pretty spectacular.
What's it crossing? Is it crossing a river or something?
Yeah, it's crossing a river.
Yeah.
And that, you know, goes up and down depending. And they just go to the next village.
Steph, looking at that. That's your assignment, Mark Lloyd. You've got to go on this trip and walk across this bridge.
Well, I've actually put it in the brochure next to the actual, you see it here, and it says, be brave if you're willing to, right?
Right.
And Mark actually finds it difficult to drive across Garhood Bridge.
Yeah, I've got a funny thing about bridges.
Yeah,
you can just watch everyone else crossing. Yeah, it's fine.
I think so.
At the Naltar Valley, the day trip there, or to see some ancient carvings. Tell us about those.
So the ancient carvings are actually further down, but you've got the Buddhist stupa nearby. Naltar Valley is like a spectacle in itself. It's like the Swiss Alps. It's nothing you've ever seen around that region, and when you go there, you're just blown away. The turquoisey blue water in the backdrop of these snow-capped mountains, and you just relax, have a picnic. If you want to have a little hike, you can. If not, you can just relax by the side and just have your picnic.
Kabul is here from Way to Wanderlust, joins us in the studio, talking about Pakistan and trips to go to Pakistan. We had a couple of text messages in. One, Kabul, that says, places like Lahore, Murray Mountains, very beautiful. Snow at the top of the Murray Mountains, and it's hot at the bottom of the mountain. So it's hot at the bottom and it's cold at the top. Amazing. That tells you how high the mountains are. And then we had another text in, which was lovely, didn't we, Mark?
Yeah, we like this one. In terms of Kabul's character, I can definitely vouch for his amazing, very vibrant, lively character.
So can we.
Yeah, we went to university in Leicester and he's always been full of life and positive in relation to touring Pakistan. My parents were from Azad Kashmir, an absolutely stunning part of the country.
Wow. They say people do have a perception of Pakistan in a negative manner, but you can't judge a country by perception. You've got to travel there, you've got to learn about the history, which parts of Pakistan share with a lot of Brits, especially in Lahore. It's got very rich history. That is from Farzana. Remember Farzana from Nottingham?
I do. Hello, Farzana.
There you go. It's lovely when people you know are listening, isn't it?
Yeah, so we were getting into food, weren't we, just before we had that little, you know,
break.
Yeah,
we were.
That was it.
At Ravi's. Now, I mentioned Ravi's and I said, you know what? I know Pakistani food because I've eaten at Ravi's a lot and I might go tonight. And you said to me, Kabul, there's better places you could go for Pakistani food. And then you said, oh, I can't say that on the radio. Don't worry. I mean, Ravi's is an institution. People will still always go. But if there are other Pakistani restaurants we need to know about.
Where would you recommend?
Dishem.
Yeah, go on. Where would you recommend?
Give us at least one.
At least one place. Go and get a good meal.
Now you're putting me on the spot, guys.
There must be somewhere.
Yeah, in Dubai. Good Pakistani food.
I think there's one up near where I live, at the Darbar or something.
Which one?
I can't remember the second name of it, but it's in Rashidiya, Darbar, and I've eaten there a couple of times.
Okay, there's Karachi Darbar.
Yeah.
Karachi Darbar. There is, that's a kind of, I don't know if you want to put it against Ravi's, but...
Not putting anyone against anyone.
Fine.
But just a good place for Pakistani food.
You got to go to Dera, and you got to go to Horl Ann's. In the deep end of Dera.
I am not naive when it comes to Dera.
No,
I go there a
I
lot.
I know Dera very well.
Okay, do you know Horl Ann's?
Yep. Horl Ann's, yeah.
Okay. In Horl Ann's, there's a load of shops, restaurants.
Yeah.
On that lane, there is the Peshawar restaurant. There's the Eagle restaurant. And they better give me a discount for listening to this, by the way.
So Peshawar restaurant.
Peshawar restaurant. But Eagle restaurant, my goodness. Guys, anyone listening in, you got to go to this place.
Really? Why have we not heard of that until now?
What's the name of it again?
Eagle Restaurant.
Eagle.
That's easy to remember,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, Eagle. But if you go with me, I'm telling you, you're going to get an experience you're never, ever going to get.
But, I mean, can people book that? Kabul.
Why not?
Maybe you could have a second career in
absolutely,
doing that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's on my list of things to do.
Pakistani food crawl. I'd go on that, wouldn't you, Mark?
In fact, this message is coming in. Food is amazing in Lahore. It's food capital of Pakistan. In Dubai, you can enjoy food at Lal Quila.
Yeah, Lal Quila is another one.
Yeah.
It depends, right? It depends. If you want authenticity and you don't want... no frills, you go to fine dining, okay, Lal Quila, and there's others out there. I go off the beaten track and I go to the places where there's authenticity. You can feel it.
I like to eat food that is meant to be basic ingredients that are cheap and done well. I like to eat that in the restaurants that do it cheaply.
Right, Jordy, you're going to come with me.
Okay.
All right.
What kind of people have joined your trip so far? You've done a few road tests, haven't you, on this?
Yep. Friends and relatives, actually people who have been, who are in Pakistan, who have never been to the north. I thought, let's go local first. And they couldn't believe it. They hear about it, they see it, but when they see it for themselves, it's a different world altogether.
Is there a best time of the year to actually travel?
Yep. Everything from April till around November. You got spring cherry blossom, and the Japanese, believe it or not, fully booked. When they get there, sakura, it's out of this world. Then autumn is another. But again, a lot of people, the tourists, there's a 30% increase year on year now, since the last few years, actually. Domestic tourists that from Karachi and Lahore and places like that, they've actually done a road trip and go, and it's fully booked.
It's funny you say that, because we had a text in from someone who didn't put their name on, unfortunately, that says, so happy to hear that someone is finally talking about how beautiful Pakistan really is. I'm a Pakistani myself. I've never had the chance to explore this hidden gem, but I've heard so much about the beautiful places in the northern areas.
Absolutely.
So there are a lot of people who haven't had a chance to see parts of their own country.
Can I just say that the places, it sounds, okay, I'm going to say it's magical. It's, but the people are even more friendlier. Believe it or not, there is five zones, blue zones in the world where people live over 100 years old. Hunza Valley is known one of them.
It is.
Yes. Organic lifestyle, organic food, the very vibrancy of the mountains. Honestly, when you go there, you'll see for yourself. And I've been so many times that I've been talking about this for the last 10 years. So, yeah.
More restaurants coming in from Faddy. He says barbecue tonight.
That's
barbecue
another one.
Delight.
Yeah.
Bundu Khan.
Yep.
And Spice 8.
Absolutely.
They're all good?
We can't go wrong.
I told you, there's many restaurants. Barbecue Delights, Barbecue Tonight, yep.
We've got to get out of our Pakistani comfort zone when it comes to food.
Mate, I can take you places, but it depends what you're looking for, you know?
Another text message come in. How can we plan a package and some ballpark figures as to how much it will cost?
Right. So, depends. I mean, I originally wanted to do the 10-day excursion. Right, but I've minimized it as well because a lot of people are like corporate here, so they want to do the getaway 5 days. So I'm planning a trip as of June, end of June onwards, and the trip with, if all goes well, the visa and the flights, transportation, etc., around 5,500 dirhams.
Okay.
Okay, we had another couple of text messages, and we need to address really quickly.
Yeah.
People are asking about how they find you online.
www.waytowanderlust.com,
and they can just reach out if they've got any questions there. We did have someone talking about being British and having Indian heritage and whether they would have trouble getting a visa, you think, to go on a trip like this.
It's on a case by case basis. They need to go reach out to the consulate and they can resolve it from there.
Amazing. Loads more restaurants coming in. Tabak, have you heard of that one?
I have.
And also Usmania restaurant.
I've not heard of Usmania.
Right, you've got to go and try that one. Hey, we've all learned something today,
Kabul.
You
go with me first.
I'm going tonight because I'd planned to go to Ravi's, so I'm not going to go to Eagle Restaurant tonight.
You go to Eagle tonight.
I'm going. I'm going to check it out.
Kabul, you've been amazing and really painted a beautiful picture of your excursions to northern Pakistan.
Thank you very much.
It'd be great to get you back in after June when you've been on that first trip and maybe a couple of people who went with you.
Absolutely. Be my
awesome.
Pleasure.
All right, Kabul, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you very much for everyone listening in, and thank you very much for having me over as well.
Pleasure.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.